Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. Amen. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Question to that three. Can we read the last verse? Sorry, not the last one. Let's read verse 21.
To him that overcometh, life grant to sit with me in my throne, mm-hmm. even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Praise the Lord. So we see that there's a promise to the overcomer that they will sit in my throne, right? Mm-hmm. Even as I also overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a letter to the churches, okay? And those who were giving these letters or these writings were actually the angel, what the Bible calls the angel of the church, the seven angels that were giving this commission to the churches. Okay, you see, for each of the church, let us read.
Angel of the church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
different angels.
Yes. So each of the angels had a message mm-hmm. to a particular church. Where else do you see the seven angels?
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Okay. Now remember when we were reading the book of Revelation, and then after the seventh seal was opened, mm-hmm. you went into the trumpets, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when we went into the trumpets, what did we see? Yes, on the seventh seal, amen. Mm-hmm. So when the seventh seal was opened, amen. Amen. Chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 1. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Praise God. Amen. I don't know, I just feel like I should say this. I feel like God wants us to be coming more prepared. For our meetings. More prepared spiritually. Amen. And it's difficult. I know. But we are in the same struggle together. You know, you're tired. I mean, spiritual or unspiritual, the expression of the Holy Spirit needs your body to cooperate. So if you're tired, like, if I'm physically tired, actually, we had room to minister myself. So, and it's the same thing for us. So I understand that that area, you know, not after the whole day, you know, sometimes it might take time for us to, but that's the battle we have to fight. It's a battle we have to fight. God has things to say to us, I know. He has things to say, but it will just be a bit easier if we are more, you know, we are more conscious about preparing our hearts for the meetings, amen. Because
mm-hmm.
that way it will be easier, there won't be much struggle, right? Praise the Lord. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And nothing good comes easy. Right? So, but God will help us. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be, if we are investing so much, I look at you guys will be at home, you guys come here every Tuesday, right? For me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's a huge sacrifice. Because that's your evening. So, for me, if you're going to pay that sacrifice, then for me, I think it should be, I should get everything that God wants, right? I want to reap everything. If I'm sowing, I don't want to sow and reap a bit. I want to sow and then reap every. I want to take everything that God has to give. So I pray God will give us the grace to help our. So, praise the Lord. It's like you're going to sow. If I'm going to sow, you're still going to spend time anyway to plant the seed. Right? So why not take extra time and weed around it very well and prepare the ground and till the ground well. Praise the Lord. So that in the end, when you reap the fruit, you will reap a good harvest. And the ground is our heart. Right? It's the state of our heart that determines the kind of harvest of the word that we will have. And that will determine the kind of seed that God will even cast into our hearts. Amen. I pray God will strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 8, it says when he had opened the seventh seal, right, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets, right? So you saw these seven angels that stood before him. To them were given seven trumpets. Given seven trumpets. Okay. Now, these seven angels, I believe these angels were the angels of the churches, because these are the angels that began to do the service, that began to bring forth the manual, or the specification of service. Praise God. So you know that service doesn't begin outside the outer court. What does service begin? In the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. So those who are, though there are people who belong to God in the outer court, but they are not serving Him yet. They are not serving God. Okay? It's people who are before the throne. It takes people who are before the throne. People who are in the sanctuary, who have come, who are journeying into the sanctuary, they're actually coming before God. When you see the word before the throne of God, it doesn't only mean people who have entered inside the most holy place. It actually starts from people who are in the holy place. Right? Because that most holy dimension is a dimension of the throne itself. Within there, you can call that whole region God's throne, if you want to. Now, when the Bible writes about the holy place or the altar in the holy place, let's see. Okay, see verse 13 of chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded," right? "And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." You see that word, before God, you think they are saying something of something in the most holy. Right? But this word, before God, doesn't mean the most holy place. It's actually in the holy place, but it's before the veil. So anything that is before the veil, they say it's before God, or it's before the throne. In another place, they refer to this altar as the altar before the throne. Okay? So, people who serve, you can't serve God if you are not, if you haven't come before his throne. It takes people who have come before his throne to serve him. So everyone who has entered the holy place, the calling of priestly consecration is a calling to come into a place of service. Everybody who is being called to be a priest is somebody who has been called to serve God. Because you have to be a priest to serve. That's the work of priests. Every priest is called for service. And you can't serve God outside this tabernacle. You have to come within the tabernacle. And then the service of God begins. Amen? So this, you say that these seven angels, they are called the angels. They are the angels of God, but they are angels who are before him. So chapter 8, it says, "And when he had opened the heaven, seventh seal, and there was silence half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood where? Before God." So you see, this before God doesn't necessarily mean they are in the most holy place. Okay? You actually find that when we began to read down this chapter, you discover that this was actually a holy place dimension. Even though we said they were before God. But they were actually angels in the holy place. Amen? Now, it says that these angels were given seven trumpets. These angels who are before God were given seven trumpets. Now, and then these are the trumpet, the angels who now began to sound one by one, one by one. And Bible now says that after the sounding of the seventh angel, that then the mystery of God is what? Is finished. So these angels were actually declaring the mystery of God. And these angels, I believe, are the same seven angels in the that was the sent to the churches, chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 20. It says the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are what? The angel of the what? Seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Okay. So these seven angels are the angels of the seven churches, or the seven stars are the angels to the seven churches. Okay. So it is these seven angels who began to sound in the holy place, who began to bring declaration of the articles or the things that pertain to the service of God. They were unveiling the service of God, revealing the service of God. Without the sounding of these angels, you see, they are the angels to the churches. So that will tell you that what the churches were meant to do is what? Is to serve God. So, and all these churches are churches that have come to the holy place. All they need to do is to overcome. And what it will take to overcome is that you must, the manual of service has to be unveiled to you for you to overcome. So that's why he now began to tell him, to this angel of this church, write to the angel. And then began to say things to them. So the things that the angel would declare to the churches are the sounds of the angel. That's what they were sounding in the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. So these angels are angels. Angel, the word angel means messenger, right? So if you want to read, for example, chapter 2, verse 1, you will say, unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus write. Okay? This thing said he that ruled the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay? So they were writing unto the messengers of the churches. And these messengers were sent to the churches to unveil the secret of how to arrive at the throne of God. That's the mystery of the angel. So you can't arrive at the throne without coming into the mystery of God. It will take the mystery of the throne for you to arrive at the throne. You need to have the mystery unveiled to you. So these angels were messengers to the churches that were sent to unveil the mystery of God to them. Because anybody who doesn't hold the mystery of God, when you come before that second veil, that veil can never part. That veil answers to a certain what kind of content within you. You must have come into mysteries. That is why it will take the thunders breaking out from within the veil, which is what we saw in the book of Revelation chapter 10. Right, when the angel with the little book came, amen. Mm-hmm. And then the angel came out and then began to prophesy, right? And then you saw the seven thunders came to John got the revelation of the seven thunders, which he wasn't told he couldn't reveal, right? But it was told to him that in the time of the sounding of
the seventh angel,
in that time when he begins to sound, that what will happen? The mystery of God will be finished. Praise the Lord. So it will take the mystery of God being finished for the veil to what? To part open.
And parting the veil open is literally overcoming the devil, right?
It's overcoming the devil.
So we have to finish the mystery of God to overcome that wicked one.
Yes. Yes. You see there, let's go to chapter 10 of Revelation. That's it, 10. So if you see verse, chapter 10, yes. Chapter 10, verse 7, right? It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be what? Finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, you see, when that angel sounded, something happened. Read from chapter 11, chapter 11 from verse 15. It says, and the seventh angel what?
Sounded.
And there were what? Great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, which art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. See verse 19, what happened?
And the temple of God was opened in heaven.
Okay, what is the temple of God?
Where God actually is.
We are the temple, but in the context of heaven now, it says in heaven. This is talking of the temple in heaven, not the temple in you.
Like the tabernacle.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The most holy place.
The most holy, right? What are you going to say? Huh? Do you want to say the holy place?
But God's ark is in the temple, right?
God's ark is in the temple. Amen. Praise the Lord. When he uses the word, this temple of God here, the temple of God is actually the most holy place. When you are speaking of the sanctuary, the temple itself, they call it the holy temple. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The holy temple constitutes the temple that is given to the priests, mm-hmm. and then the temple of God himself. Mm-hmm. Right. So this temple of God means God's own temple. Now at this point, before this point, they were already in the holy place. These angels sounded. You see overwhelming evidence from the content of the angels' message that these angels were sounding in the holy place. Right? They were sounding in the holy place, but they were sounding there in order for the veil which covers, which separates the holy temple and the temple of God from being what? Open. So they were sounding to open that veil. I see when the veil sounded, when the seventh angel sounded, this is exactly what happened. First of all, there was a proclamation, right? Mm-hmm. The angels began to worship God, right? Because they say the kingdoms of this world has become what?
The kingdoms of our God.
All they are telling you is that there's no longer separation of kingdoms. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They are now, when you bring God and his children right now together, what you are bringing are two different kingdoms. God's children have their own kingdom. Even though they are his children, but they have their own. They are not living according to his laws. They are not abiding according to the principles of his dominion. They are living a foreign principle of life. Right? So that's how you know they have not been saved to the fullest or to the uttermost, because they haven't come into the fullness of God's own dominion. So you discover that final veil is actually the final veil that separates God's dominion from God's or the enemy's dominion.
Mm.
You get anything within that last veil is God's kingdom. All you find there is a kingdom. You won't find any contrary nature to God's own dominion in that realm. So that's why you see it's hard for that veil to part. It will take seven sounds. The first one will sound, second, third, fourth, until the mystery has been finished. All they are just doing is that when you are coming, they are pouring the mysteries into you. By the time the mystery has been finished, means that your nature has become aligned with the nature within the veil. Because of that, the veil can't stop you anymore. The veil will give way. You see, the first people who began to proclaim here were angels, right? You began to hear voices, right, saying the kingdom of this world, verse 15. I become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You now see these 24 elders who didn't have a revelation of God Almighty before.
Mm-hmm.
But because what men did had an effect in their realm. You know, the Bible speaks in the book of 1 Peter, there are things which angels desire to look into.
Mm-hmm.
There are angels who desire to look into some things. But they didn't desire, they couldn't. Because those things have been shut up. It would take a certain kind of man to unlock things in the heavens. Do you believe that your walk on the earth can affect the heavens? Do you believe that angels are watching your walk? There are things that your walk can unlock that will even affect the angelic. Do you know that? Do you know that angels, all they think about morning and night is salvation. That's all they, that's their food. That's all their desire. If you see an angel, his heart is beating. What's your heart beating for? Why are you so? They tell you salvation. 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 Angels were raised for salvation. That's the reason why they were made. Man was made for rest, to provide rest to God. Angels weren't made to provide rest to God by themselves. They can't. Well, what they were made for was to assist those who should become God's rest to get to that place. That's what angels were made for. They were made for the purpose of salvation. They are agents of salvation. Book of Hebrews, remember chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
right? So are they not what? Mm-hmm. Are they not ministering spirits who will minister for them who will be what? Heirs of salvation. Check all the activities of angels from the Bible, Old Testament, all the way to New Testament. All the appearances to men has been about what? Salvation. How to bring salvation to man. All their dealings towards man was to allow man to come to salvation. They are so interested in salvation. The Bible says the look of which salvation, right? He spoke of that salvation which the prophets prophesied and all that, right? He said even which angels then desire to look into. So as long as there's a program of salvation going on, you will see angels present.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So you see, after the seventh angel has sounded, right? It says, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty. So you see, their worship, their reverence of God has changed, right? From God who created all things, right? That was what they said about him. All their sight about him before was what? You are worthy to receive what? Glory, honor. Yes, and for your will and your pleasure, they are. That was all their revelation of God. That's their highest rev. Right? Their highest revelation of God was this God that created all these things for himself. They couldn't gain extra, they couldn't cite the almighty nature of God, because that nature is a nature that was hidden within the veil. To take the veil to be broken, for that nature to be seen. But for that veil to be broken, right, God must have come to a place where he's no longer afraid. Right? He's no longer afraid because salvation has been done. Amen. So that's what verse 19 of chapter 11 was saying. That and the temple of God was what? Opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Amen. Now, that ark of his testament is actually, you can call that the throne. Can you? It's a throne, right? That's God's throne.
Mm.
The throne is a seat.
Yeah, that's where
it's stored. That seat is in the heavens. It's called the mercy seat. That mercy seat is actually God's own. Because when God told Moses, come to me, this from here I will begin to commune with you.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Exodus 25.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exodus 25. Just quickly read it. Exodus 25, it says, verse 20, I see, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, right? and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give unto thee. Amen?
Amen.
And there I will what? I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from where? Above the mercy seat. So if he's above the mercy seat, it means he's seated on the mercy seat. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that seat called mercy seat? Because and there I will meet with thee, comma, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony. Okay. So from that mercy seat, why is it called mercy seat? From the prayers we're praying today, you saw God was leading us in that direction of the properties of his throne. Praise God.
I thought it was a throne of grace, though.
Is a throne of grace, yes.
As many.
Yes.
This is because we cannot otherwise come before that throne if mercy is not speaking.
Yes. That is true. That's why it's called what? The mercy seat.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if it was mercy seat relative to us or relative to
There's no one answer. Right? I'm asking you guys. So
yeah.
I want you to speak about it from different dimensions. You spoke about you can't come, right, without the throne, what? Without mercy from the throne coming to you. Right? Now you can also think about it when it says mercy seat. So it's the seat of mercy. So what sits upon the throne is what?
Mercy.
Is mercy.
Mercy.
Right? What
wow.
Mercy is a being called God. That's who he is. That's his mercy. When the Bible says he's plenteous in what? In mercy.
His mercy
endureth forever. Those are his properties. He's full of mercy. He's merciful and gracious. Okay? So you see, you can't separate mercy and grace.
I know.
Aha. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You need, without mercy, you can't come to grace. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You take mercy. Grace is a necessary product of what?
Mercy.
Of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
When you see grace anywhere, that grace implies that mercy has happened for grace to come. Grace will not come to you if mercy hasn't happened.
Yes.
Right? The reason why you got grace came to you
because God
has had mercy. It's mercy that produced grace. Mercy manufactured grace for comers because people cannot come without grace. So mercy has to produce the product that can bring people. That's mercy. Mercy is the core nature of God. Whenever God said, let me, what is speaking is mercy. And God said, let us make man. Who was speaking?
Mercy.
Mercy was saying, let us. It's the mercy of God. That's where mercy is God's fountain. Everything he does flows out of mercy. We've been teaching about grace for a bit, right? We spoke about grace quite a bit. Right? If you want to, can someone just define grace for me? Simple language. Based on what we've been learning, Abiola. Nothing? How are you?
Good.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What is grace?
Grace is what you get when God has mercy on you.
Praise God.
The divine power or ability
yes.
of God
yes.
to work in us.
Yeah.
To do that which we cannot. Or to obey the word. To do that which we cannot do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And what's grace?
It's the energy of God
energy. Yes, it's the ability and power of God to capacity.
To capacity.
It's not to capacity, it's capacity that's provided to you.
Yes.
It's grace. And grace is a teacher.
Yes.
It's a teacher of the walk. Mm-hmm. But the teaching comes with ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's grace.
Yeah. Praise God.
As I've understood it.
Amen. Amen. So that's it. Grace is simply just God's divine ability, right?
Why did you guys not laugh when I said it?
I didn't laugh. Grace is divine ability, praise God, or divine energy, right? That's great. Grace is God's currency.
Mm-hmm.
Anything God does is gracious. When God was crafting the world, it was grace that was doing it, right? If God wants to get something done, what will he use? He will use grace. If God wants to build a house, what will he use? He uses grace. Grace is the energy of God. If God wants to help somebody, it means he wants to equip you.
Mm-hmm.
To help you means to equip you, to give you what you did not have, to enable you. That's God's,
grace.
Something God can do. How will you do it? He will impart grace to you.
And that he has had mercy.
Yes.
Because he has
grace
had
is, mercy. Think of grace like currency, ability.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get anything in the world. The same money answers all things,
mm-hmm.
right? What do you need?
Grace.
You need currency to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
Grace can produce anything because grace is the currency of God.
Can you please tell me how lovely this is to grace and mercy?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember there was a Bible study where we were just talking about how God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is love, even the light, between the children is love.
Yes.
How does it lead to grace and mercy? Because I feel God's characteristics is love, is
yes.
joy,
mm-hmm.
you know. Grace is mercy. I'm learning all this about
all these things like all God, right?
So, they should relate somehow, right?
Yeah,
I
yes.
So.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all these things are different properties of God, right? Love is God's nature, his essence, what is made up of is love. Okay? God is also merciful, he's also full of mercy. Now, you can call mercy love. You have not made any mistake.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
But they have different imports in understanding. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
They are the same thing, but if you want to speak of God, you can call him love or call him mercy. But when you call him love, you are trying to import a particular understanding of his nature through love. Right? When you call him mercy, you are importing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mercy, when you're being mercy has to do with his judgment,
mm-hmm.
his decision making,
mm-hmm.
his will,
mm-hmm.
how he decides.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's when you talk of mercy. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When you're speaking of love, they're just talking about the fabric of his nature.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What does it constitute? Right. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What is joy in God? It's very simple, it's not a deep thing. I mean, obviously it's deep, but kind of, yeah, understanding, right? What understanding does joy impart? Right.
Joy. Okay, from last time that we were talking, right?
Yes.
I guess a person, what we can see in being has complete this when they need nothing.
Yes.
And they have...
Is what?
Rest.
Yeah.
Joy is what he's anointed with.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is his anointing. Right? That's what he's wearing. Right? That's his oil. Makes sense. So all these are properties. You are speaking of properties within the veil. All those things you mentioned: love, mercy, joy. Those are properties you find. Right? Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Bible says that in the presence of God is what? Fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1, right? When Jesus Christ was, when He was anointed, right? When He was anointed, the Bible says He was anointed with the oil of what? Of gladness. Gladness is joy. Yeah. Gladness is actually fullness of joy. When your joy has been full, you have been made glad. Right. When your joy has been full, you have been made glad. So gladness is fullness of joy. Okay. Amen. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what?
Joy.
Where is joy? Found in the Holy Ghost.
It is God.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God is in the Holy Ghost. And the highest expression of the Holy Ghost is joy. Do you agree? That's the highest expression in any way you look at it. The highest expression. If the Holy Spirit comes here now, when He comes to the peak of His expression, if He wants to manifest Himself, we'll all be slain in laughter. We'll all just be laughing uncontrollably. That's the highest expression of the Spirit. Right. Kenneth Hagin, towards the end of his life, he was so anointed towards the last years of his life that he couldn't minister anymore. He was almost incapable of ministering, of preaching. As soon as he's Kenneth Hagin, because the measure of the Spirit upon him kept increasing for the decades of his life. The Spirit of God upon him was increasing gradually. When he got towards the end of his life, whenever he stands to minister, when he just begins to speak, laughter will just break out everywhere. Everybody in the whole congregation will be laughing uncontrollably. If he comes a few feet to you, you'll be gone. He almost couldn't minister the presence of the Spirit with him because he had been cultivating the Spirit for years, for decades. He had been growing in the Spirit. And God told him that towards the end of your ministry, this will be the kind of manifestation you will see. Way before that happened, and it began to happen in his life. So when you see someone is full of the Holy Ghost, start to speaking and speaking and speaking in tongues. But when you really speak and speak, if you've prayed that long, you pray and pray after a while, when you become so full, you break out into laughter. Right? That laughter is joy, deep joy in your soul, because the Holy Ghost has filled you up. Now, who is the most anointed entity? Is God. God is the most what? God is more anointed than Jesus. Yes. God the Father is more anointed than God the Son. He has more measure of the Spirit. The Father has more of Holy Ghost than the Son does. The Son has more Holy Ghost than the Holy Ghost.
I'm more than the Holy Ghost.
Man.
Don't you think. Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Now, take a believer who just got born again. You can get them born again full with the Holy Ghost. They can pray in tongues and they will enjoy fellowship. They are praying in tongues and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they will enjoy the Holy Spirit very well. But there are dimensions of communion, of sweetness, of joy in the Spirit. There are experiences in the Holy Spirit that they can't have, no matter how long they pray. Do you know why? Because they haven't come into measures of the Son yet. They haven't learned anything about the Son. All they are just enjoying is just the wine of the Spirit. You enjoy speaking in tongues and all that. When you begin to minister the Son to them by revelation, they begin to have experiences that Holy Ghost beginning thing was little. Because you begin to have word movements, you begin to have Christ, the Son, displaying or demonstrating within. You now discover that the Son is more anointed than the Spirit.
Start learning about the mysteries of the Father.
That
the learning will change.
Things will change. Sure, there are some kind of tongues. There are some kind of tongues you can't have without revelation. There are some languages you can't even speak in the Spirit if you've not come into some knowledge. When you are learning the Son, it will upgrade you. Right? You come into the Son's anointing because his knowledge comes with his anointing too. He has measures of anointing. When the Son begins to come into your heart. And then when you come into the dimension of the Father, it's different too. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't want to continue. The message hasn't even started. But I don't know. Amen.
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 So you see in the mercy seat above it, that's where the glory of God rests, right?
Mm-hmm.
God told Moses, from there I'll begin to commune with you from the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is a seat. It means it's a throne. That the throne of God is a throne of mercy. So in the book of Hebrews, you should come boldly to that throne of grace. So if he says the throne of grace, what does that imply?
You obtain mercy from
God. Aha. The throne of grace is also a throne of mercy. Because come boldly to that throne so you can obtain what?
Mercy.
Then to find grace. The reason for mercy, when you obtain mercy, you need mercy to find grace. You can't find grace without first obtaining mercy. Because your mercy is what gives you access to
the
grace currency. And grace is what brings help to you. When you've come into grace, you are being helped. If God wants to help you, it's not by giving you money or anything. If God wants to really bless a man, that's God blesses with grace. Grace is what produces the substance. God will just drop grace in your life. When God has dropped grace, that grace can produce everything you will ever need. When everything you produce has finished, you produce more. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That God's blessing. The book of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 23. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 23. Number 6, sorry. Number 6. All right. Number 6, but from verse 23. This was God speaking to Moses, right? And he told him, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying in this wise, says on this wise, means in this way. On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. The way you bless them is what? Saying unto them. Not by giving them stuff. By saying unto them. What do you do? The Lord bless you and what?
Keep thee.
The Lord make his face what? Shine upon thee and be what? Gracious unto thee. Bless you and keep you. The reason why God keeps you is to give you grace. Right? That word actually, keeping, is actually mercy. It takes mercy to be kept. Then he will now bring his face. His face is what produces grace. And be gracious unto you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, there are some things I want us to see about David, but there's no time tonight. And that area of mercy. Because what the seventh angel actually unveiled was that realm of mercy. Those were things that David had foresight of. That's what made David the man who God swore, right, to produce someone who will what? Sit on the throne out of him. And you see, the angels of the churches, all they came to do was to produce people who are candidates of the throne. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 3, you see the last church, right? This is the last church, the seventh church. That's the fullness of the church that came into the fullness of the overcomer's lot or the overcomer's possession. Right? What did he say to them? Chapter 3, verse 21. To him that what? Overcomer will I grant to sit with me, what? In my throne, even as I also overcame and then sat down with my Father on his throne. So the end of overcoming. The reason for overcoming is to what? To sit down on the throne. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want us to go tonight. Amen. Let's just thank God for his word. Hali Kasaid Hali Manomata Hambratesi Hello Professor Heria Halia Keleno Fete Hesse Brente and Dea Seto Orange and Afasa Atisa Caseta Conota Capranisa Atefenta Ukruheli Erodo Sehe Tora Dea Shehone Atia Nohatamaha Afatisa Kaluda Kali Haturone Vetehena Hafata Sasike Hone Sendu Lipateka Yazoro de Venedesi Avasai Shaharanosa Kalia Se Hamate Suni Brendi Hamene Kaliga Sode in Heaven. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, we thank you for the prayers we've offered tonight. Thank you because you're beginning to pour out your mercy over us. And you'll begin to release help to us. Father, we thank you. We renew our commitment to you. We ask that you will begin to open secret doors unto us. Give us the right of way to come closer, to begin to hear blessed things, things from your mouth, things that will cause us to sit on the throne. Father, we ask for strength tonight. As many who need a renewal of strength, Father, I pray that you release strength, power, divine power that can quicken minds, that can quicken soul, that can quicken body. We ask for quickening, Father, quickened by your power. Messia touch the Udrahend, Eturi Kamozagia Doho, Eredisia Turo Koimentasha, Alice Kurendi Vese. Erenisa Aprain Shetubrahend Vashia Protiva Ekelia Kalebotande Esteturi Efen. Father, we know that nothing can be quickened without your word. Father, we pray, even just a little we've had chance to sow, tonight. Help us, Father. Have mercy upon us. Be faithful. Be merciful. We could take a little today, but you can turn a little into great. Father, let the little seed turn into strength in us. Let the word become a quickening instrument within our soul to breathe more life upon us and to make us stronger. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We exalt your name.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You